show it as 1:30, February 22nd, 2006. The CNR committee is going to take up two bills today. We'll have action on Bill 265. We'll hear a CS on Senate Bill 193. And then due to the scheduling difficulties dealing with the oil tax changes facing the legislature, the CNRA committee will not hold another meeting until such time as that is off and out of the Resources Committee, that issue. We'll come back and pick up the agendas where we left off. So there may not be another CNRA meeting for 2 to 3 weeks. With that, I would like to have the sponsor of 265, if we have any representation of 265, come forward. We have already had our public hearing, public testimony on this this bill, and I just want to check to see if there's anybody in the audience today that would like to speak or have any questions. Senate Bill 265, the Municipal Bond Bank Bill, it's the extension to help finance expansion of our communities. Can I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we... You already a motion to move out?
Correct.
I move that we move out Senate Bill 265 with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Do we have any objections? Hearing none, we will move out Senate Bill 265. Thank you, Mr. Baker, for coming forward. Senate Bill 193, do we have... anybody from Senator Bundy's office here?
Mr. Chairman, do you want to move the CS? Or
yes, I would like to.
I move the CS for Senate Bill number 193 for purpose of discussion.
Oh, I better put on the record who's here.
Yes, and I'd like to put on the record that we have Senator Wagner, Senator Gary Stevens, Senator Bert Stedman present, Senator Kukesh, and Senator Ellis are absent. Okay. And we have a motion to move this the CS on 193. And do we have any objections to that? Hearing none, we will have a testimony on Senate Bill 193. And again, there will be no action. And
Chairman, I had to get back up to my...
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Senator Wagner.
Thank you.
I will...
Call me if you need me.
Okay. I'll... We'll let you folks... Oh, okay. Do we have anybody here, the bill sponsor? Yes, we'll just stand at ease for a minute. Yes, go ahead and call him. On the record, Senator Bundy, we have moved in the CS, and what I'd like you to do is make comments that you feel appropriate here, and just if I could, and then we've got a couple of people online that we'll hear from.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Con Bundy, Senate District P. Mr. Chairman, we did change the title. We removed owned and occupied by individuals with incomes at or below the federal poverty guidelines for the state. On page 1, section 1, we changed the requirements for applicability from 10 years occupancy in the home to the permanent fund dividend requirements at your office's suggestion. This streamlines the requirement with current statutes regarding the seniors and the vets exemption. section, or page one, section one, paragraph C, we upped the income requirements to 3 times the federal poverty guidelines. This allows municipalities more discretion in choosing their eligibility guidelines. Again, this was a suggestion from your office. In C2, here we dealt with partial ownership by requiring that all owners maintain the property as a primary residence and are eligible for the PFD, and whose combined incomes are still less than 3 times the federal poverty guidelines. In paragraph C2B, all owners must reapply annually. And C2C allows municipalities to record the lien on the property and be reimbursed for those costs by the individuals requesting the deferral. I believe that covers the changes in your CS.
Okay. And are you fairly comfortable with these recommended changes?
Yes, I think that streamlines the bill. And again, just point out that the bill is designed to be a local option. And municipalities can use this, unlike the current senior and vet property tax exemption that is a unfunded mandate. It's simply a local option, and I believe, having talked to some folks, that the local community is the best place to decide whether they should apply this option or not.
And the reason Senator Bundy to coming forward with this bill is under the current statutes, there isn't the flexibility at the local level for allowance of deferral?
I'm not aware of any allowance for deferral, no. And it also may, if we establish this in statute, may encourage them to think about whether this would be a wise idea to adopt this option or not.
Okay.
It is a option is available in many other states, and as I said in my opening comments, people who are met with catastrophic circumstances, whatever they may be, have a lot of weight on their shoulders, and probably one of the last things they should have to worry about is whether they're going to lose their home due to non-payment of taxes.
Have you had any feedback on how many percentages or total numbers of residents and because this is more applicable to organized areas of the
yeah.
state than the unorganized, of course, because the unorganized don't pay property tax.
Yeah, they couldn't be.
What percentage or how many people may be of interest in having some form of a deferral like this?
Anecdotal response from individuals in my area and from the AARP indicated that there is interest a strong interest from AARP in establishing this option.
Okay. But just as a point of clarification, there's no age limit. It's more of a qualification for the permanent fund dividend and earning 3 times less than the poverty rate and then having a showing hardship to the tax man.
Correct.
Okay.
The current deferral, you have to be over 65, and then it defers the first 150 thousand, at least in my community, the appraisals are going up every year, and a number of people have suggested that the senior deferral be increased. Some have suggested doubled, but again, that's an unfunded mandate, and were we to do that, I think a little bit like pushing a balloon, the local municipality could do that, but then they'd simply have to tax others more to replace that unfunded mandate.
Okay. I've got, thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
I've got just a couple people. I've got one party from Fairbanks we're going to hear from. Then we're going to go to the off-net for one party, the state assessor, and we'll come back into the room for comments from the folks here. In Fairbanks, Andy Harrington. Are you still there, Andy?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Could you please identify yourself and then speak to the bill in question, please?
Sure. Thank you very much. My name is Andy Harrington. I have 4624 Stanford Drive here in Fairbanks. I'm the executive director of Alaska Legal Services Corporation, although I have to clarify that I'm not speaking on behalf of Alaska Legal Services today. I'm here as an individual citizen. I'm very supportive of this bill. When a family in our community or in any community across the state encounters hardships that push them below the federal poverty ceilings, and now I understand that the committee substitute makes that 300% of the poverty ceilings, which I think is a good idea. It's important that that family's community help them get back on their feet rather than increase the pressure on them by jeopardizing their residence and perhaps moving the family one step closer to homelessness. The bill is a good idea. It gives Alaska municipalities the option to defer taxes without requiring it, so that each community can make its own decision as to what's appropriate. It is, as Senator Bunny noted, not an unfunded mandate because it's not mandatory. It's an authorization. It's at most a suggestion. I think it's a good suggestion and urge favorable action on it by the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rankin. With that, I'd like to go to Steve Van Zandt, the state assessor.
Senator Stedman, yes, sir. I am here. For the record, my name is Steve Van Zandt. I'm the state assessor with the Department of Commerce. Actually, I'm here to answer questions, but I do have just a couple of comments. One, a clarification. Senator Bundy referred to the senior program as a senior deferment, and that is not a deferment, just for clarification. It is an exemption of up to $150,000. So there's a little bit of difference between the two pieces of legislation. Number two, I've talked with several assessors across the state, and most of them see this as a useful tool for their offices because, as Senator Bundy said, there, at the current time, there is no tool out there for a municipality to allow any kind of deferment on property taxes. So this does give municipalities a valuable tool to deal with. I do have some concern expressed by some municipalities in the fact that there's no... there's no ability here for them to collect interest on the taxes deferred between the time the deferral is granted and the time the taxes become payable. That was a concern of two or three different communities, municipalities, I'm sorry, that they wouldn't be able to charge interest when it may cost them money to defer this and collect it at a later date. So that was the only concern that I've heard of so far. So, but I am here to answer any questions that might come up, sir.
Mr. Van Zandt, could you give us an idea how active the statute may be as far as people pursuing it, if it was in place?
Through the chair, you know, it's really hard for us to say. I know while I was the assessor in Anchorage, and I've talked to other people who have been there, it's hard to say how many people would actually meet the criteria who really want this kind of program. In my 5 years at the municipality, I would say less than, maybe a half a dozen to a dozen people in those 5 years came forward with an issue where they needed a deferment. Now, in those, I am not counting senior citizens because, as I've stated before, there is a senior citizen hardship exemption which currently exists. So not counting those, but just counting people who do have hardships, you know, like permanently handicapped individuals, 100% handicapped, who are on fixed incomes who couldn't afford it, I would say, a dozen or so, at least in Anchorage. And my guess would be that there's a minimum number across the state that would fall. Now, if you raise the income level to $36,000, which this one just about does, I think the poverty level is $11,950 for 2005, so three times that pushes $36,000, you could raise that bar somewhat. So it's really difficult for us to say on that, Senator.
Thank you. The senior hardship exemption.
Yes, sir.
If this bill, if Senate Bill 193 was in place, would it have any impact on this seniors in hardship, or is there anything different that this bill would do than the current statutes allow?
Through the chair, this bill would allow anybody who met this criteria, that whatever criteria the municipality decided to encompass, to defer the taxes. The hardship exemption is one where there is a formula set by regulation where the seniors may go before the borough assembly or city council, declare a hardship exemption, and they may or may not grant it. So this would be just a second tool that could be used, and there's no prohibition from seniors going in and asking for this one if a municipality has it in their code. So it just gives a second tool to use.
So anyone over the age of 65, I assume that's the age for seniors you're using? Anybody over the age of 65 is pretty much already covered. What this bill is going to address fundamentally would be residents that collect a
permit. Through the chair, if I might, I think there's very few senior hardship exemptions granted that I'm aware of. Most of them are not granted. This would give an option to municipalities that don't want to grant an exemption, an outright exemption, to defer those. So I could see where this could be used by senior citizens rather than forgiving the taxes in total, is to allow just a deferment for those individuals who may fall upon hard times.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I might, just for the record, Mr. Van Zandt was very right. I misspoke when I transposed deferral for exemption. The current law is an exemption. This would simply be a deferral. And if I might also address the problem, I think Mr. Van Zandt alluded to, and what we would hope would be, a very small number of cases, so that the impact on the municipality not getting the interest due on several years of back taxes would not be significant. And I identify with what the previous speaker said about, if you've got someone who fell on hard times and is trying to pull themselves out by the bootstraps, and if they then look at a huge accruing interest clock, it may indeed be terribly discouraging. So I still view this as a win-win, where the municipality eventually gets their money, but the person who has had some serious reversals also has an opportunity to regain their financial footing.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Van Zandt, do you have any further comments you'd like to make before we turn it over to the audience here?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for testifying today on this bill. Thank you, Mr. our Senator Bundy, and I'm going to open it up for public comment from the floor. Please come forward. And if you could identify yourself, please, and who you represent. And
my name is Marie Darlin, and I represent the Capital City Task Force of AARP. Okay. And we have already submitted a letter of support for this bill, and are glad to see the committee substitute, because those were a few of the questions that we raised as far as some portions of the bill. So we feel the bill is much improved now with the way it is.
Okay.
And so we have been assured, because we had some questions about it, that this was not a backdoor approach to doing away with the senior property tax exemption. So we're in favor of this bill, feeling that it will help a lot of people who have a problem with their property taxes. And we urge your support.
Thank you.
Hope you pass it.
Yeah, there's no interest, if I could just make a comment, there's no interest or tie-in with this legislation and the senior citizens' $150,000 tax exemption.
That's what we have been assured
right,
of.
I have, under no one's approached me or talked to me about, you know, removing that. There is some indigestion at the municipal levels, of course, because the state doesn't fund that. And that is, in fact, one of the unfunded, and to most degree, the only unfunded mandate
I know
that can be pointed to.
We have been in touch with AML on that all the way along.
Okay. Thank you. Any further testimony? Okay, with that, I'd like to go ahead and close a public hearing on Senate Bill 193. I'm going to hold the bill. Obviously, there's one person here, and we don't even have a quorum. We're going to set this aside, and hopefully the committee will start back up again in roughly 3 weeks, depending on how the petroleum profit sharing tax goes through the resources, and the reason is one of or two of the members of this committee sit on the resources, and actually three, I think, makes it a little challenging to and for the committee to work on broad statewide issues concerning revenue sharing and borough expansion problems that we've been challenged with without a full committee. Both, I'm looking for both the majority and the minority to sit at the table in this committee when we work on those issues and have, keep it as bipartisan as possible. With that, meeting is adjourned.